I want you to like cast your mind back to the year 2004.
Okay, 2004.
Yeah, picture it. You are sitting in front of this heavy tube TV, a PlayStation 2 controller in your hands, and you are playing a game like Fable.
Oh, a total classic.
Right. And you walk up to a villager, press a button, and you get four dialogue options on the screen. And it is always, without fail, the exact same four options.
Yeah, it was always a hello, goodbye, I want to buy something, and information,
Yeah.
like the golden quartet of early 2000s game design.
Exactly. And no matter what you do in that game world,
Yeah.
I mean, even if you literally just save the entire virtual universe from some apocalyptic dragon, you walk back to that exact same
And
villager.
they just stare at you.
Yes. They look at you with these dead digital eyes and say, in that same soulless tone, "Nice weather today, isn't it?"
It's so true. I mean, it was part of the unspoken contract of gaming for our generation. NPCs or non-playable characters, they were basically just set dressing.
Vending machines for quests, right?
Exactly. Vending machines for quests and swords, operating entirely on these rigid, pre-programmed logic loops.
And we just accepted it because, well, we had to. But I want you to fast forward with me to January 2026 because something happened that completely shattered that unspoken contract.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So a gamer in China was playing this MMORPG called Sword of Justice. And it's a massive game, like over 40 million concurrent players.
Huge player base.
Yeah. And this player decides to lie to a female NPC about where he had just been, and not to like complete a quest or anything. He wasn't following a prompt. He just wanted to poke the system and see what happened.
And the system actually pushed back.
It did. The NPC stopped talking. And it wasn't some glitchy loading screen pause. It was a human pause.
Yeah, which is eerie.
And then with genuine anger in her voice, she says, "You're lying. I know where you were."
It's wild. And it became a viral moment almost instantly. But, not because the graphics were hyper-realistic or the combat was groundbreaking.
Right.
It went viral because, for the first time in mainstream gaming history, an NPC actually understood that she was being deceived. I mean, she caught the player in a lie, she processed the context of that lie, and she was genuinely furious about it.
It's just mind-blowing. And really, our mission for this deep dive is to explore exactly how this is happening. We are unpacking how generative AI and large language models, or LLMs, are transforming game worlds.
Taking them from rigid puppet shows to living ecosystems.
Exactly. We're looking at the sources to figure out what this fundamental shift means for you as a player and for the entire future of interactive media. So
Okay.
let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because to me, this technological leap, it feels like going from riding one of those animatronic theme park rides, where you're on a fixed track and the pirates pop up and say the exact same pre-recorded line every 30 seconds.
Right. Dead men tell no tales over and over.
Yeah. It's like going from that to suddenly stepping off the cart, walking onto a stage, and realizing you are surrounded by professional improv actors who remember every single thing you do.
That's a great analogy. And, to understand why the industry is making this leap, we really have to look under the hood at exactly how that NPC in Sword of Justice caught the player in a lie.
Because it wasn't just a trick, right?
Exactly. It wasn't some pre-written trick by a clever developer. In the past, if you typed, "Where was I?" the game would just crash into a wall unless a writer explicitly predicted and wrote code for that exact specific string of characters.
Right, it needed an exact match.
Yeah. But now we're looking at a fundamental different architecture. The first mechanism at play here is natural language understanding. Instead of hunting for exact keyword matches, LLMs interpret the underlying semantic intent of your input.
So it's reading between the lines.
Basically, when you speak to an NPC naturally, the AI doesn't really care about your syntax. It processes the actual intent behind your words.
Okay, but interpreting intent doesn't mean anything if the system has the memory of a goldfish. I mean, the AI needs to actually know where the player was to catch the lie in the first place.
And that is exactly where the context window comes in. You can think of the context window as the AI's RAM, its active memory bank.
Making sense.
So when you lie to that NPC, the game doesn't just evaluate the single sentence you just spoke. It runs this background query against a massive database that has been constantly logging your coordinates and interactions.
Wait, so it's constantly tracking you.
Oh, absolutely. It asks the database, where actually was the player last night? And the database might return a log stating the player was at the Northern Tavern interacting with a suspicious merchant.
Ah, busted.
Right. So the LLM takes your spoken lie compares it to that retrieved log in its context window, identifies the contradiction, and then formulates a completely natural, unscripted response to confront you.
That is wild. It remembers your previous conversations, your actions, your relationships. But the crazy part is it doesn't just spit out a generic, robotic, contradiction-detected response.
No, not at all.
The AI processes that memory through a distinct personality filter, right?
Yes, exactly. Every character is governed by a unique personality profile, and that's shaped by back-end prompt engineering. The system prompt essentially assigns weights to different psychological traits.
Okay, so give me an example of how that works in practice.
Sure. So let's say you tell that exact same lie about where you were last night to two totally different NPCs. NPC number one is programmed via their system prompt to be this trusting, naive merchant.
Okay.
Their trust parameter is set extremely high. So you tell the lie, the LLM detects the contradiction, but it filters the output through that trusting persona.
So they wouldn't yell at you.
Right. The merchant might just look a little confused and say, well, if you say so, my eyes must be playing tricks on me in my old age.
I love that. But then what about NPC number two?
Well, let's say NPC number two is a paranoid city guard. Through the exact same overarching AI system, that specific personality profile where the suspicion parameter is completely maxed out, it generates a totally different aggressive reaction.
Like, I saw you by the docks. Get out of my sight.
Exactly. Get out before I throw you in a holding cell. What's fascinating here is how this entirely eliminates the massive, suffocating costs of traditional game development.
Oh, I didn't even think about the cost side of things.
It's huge. Think about a massive RPG like Skyrim back in 2011. The studio had to write and record something like 60,000 fixed lines of dialogue.
60,000.
Yeah. And that required a staggering budget, a massive writing team, months in a recording booth, and intense quality assurance testing just to make sure the audio files triggered correctly.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It was. And if they wanted to add just one new character in an expansion, they had to spin that entire multi-million-dollar logistical machine back up again. But today, these dynamically generated NPCs can provide theoretically infinite hours of dialogue without a single word being pre-scripted.
Or pre-recorded.
Exactly.
But hold on, I need to play devil's advocate for a second. Is this actually a brain we are talking about? Or are we really just looking at an incredibly massive, invisible spreadsheet of if-then statements running in the background?
That's a very fair question.
Like, is the AI actually thinking about my relationship with other characters? Or is it just matching data points really fast and pretending to care?
Well, it's definitely not thinking in any biological or conscious sense. It doesn't have an inner life or genuine emotions.
Right.
At its core, the LLM is just calculating the statistical probability of the next most logical word based on its massive training data and the specific context window it was handed.
So it is just math.
It is math. But the illusion is so perfect, and the web of context it draws from is so incredibly vast that functionally, for you sitting on the couch playing the game, it behaves exactly as if it is thinking.
Because it feels real.
Right. It seamlessly tracks your trust score, your friendship levels, your faction reputation, and dynamically weaves all those hidden variables into the syntax of every single sentence it generates.
And having a digital brain that can remember and understand is really only half the equation for a video game. I mean, for a world to truly feel alive, these characters need a voice to actually express that dynamic memory. And they need a life to live when you, the player, aren't actively staring at them.
Yeah, and, you know, TTS, or text-to-speech engines, they used to be a complete game killer for immersion. We all recognize that disjointed, robotic GPS navigation cadence.
Oh, yeah. Turn. Left. Now.
Exactly. Nobody wants to listen to a machine gun delivery of syllables for a 50-hour cinematic RPG, which is why studios historically had to rely on AAA voice actors to give characters actual emotional weight.
And those actors are not cheap.
No. They run anywhere from $200 to $500 an hour.
But the tech revolution of, you know, 2025 and 2026 really changed the audio math completely. Mm-hmm. Because tools like 11 Labs, they aren't just reading text aloud in a flat monotone anymore.
No, no, no.
They are reconstructing human voices in real time, matching the specific emotional state of the character as dictated by the LLM.
Yeah, and the way it works is incredible. If the AI brain decides the character should be furious because you lied to them, it doesn't just generate angry words. The system tags that text with hidden emotional metadata.
Wait, metadata, like instructions for how to sound.
Exactly. The voice AI reads that metadata and dynamically generates the audio with an angry cadence. It might apply vocal fry. If the character is terrified, the voice actually trembles and the breathing pace quickens.
That is insane.
If they're overjoyed, the pitch and energy naturally elevate.
And it does all of this dynamically at a fraction of the cost of studio time, which basically allows developers to populate a massive open world with thousands of fully voiced characters.
Thousands of them, yeah.
But it goes beyond just talking to you. We are seeing the rise of persistent simulation. You aren't just looking at set dressing that spawns into existence when your camera pans over to it.
Right, things disappearing when you look away.
Yeah, instead you are looking at digital citizens with ongoing lives. Look at the Mary the Baker example from the sources.
Oh, Mary the Baker, that's a perfect example. In traditional games, Mary the Baker stood angered behind her wooden counter for eternity, just waiting for you to walk up and buy bread.
Never sleeping, never eating.
Just staring at the door. But now, Mary has a macro-simulated daily routine. She physically bakes in the morning. She walks to the town market at noon to negotiate for vegetables based on the game's simulated supply and demand. And she visits a specific NPC friend in the evening.
So she has a whole life.
She does. And if you happen to bump into her at the market and naturally ask how her day is going, she might actually complain to you about the rising price of tomatoes because a troll destroyed the northern farming routes.
And it gets even wilder with offline progression. Let's go back to Sword of Justice. The sources mention a documented case of a player who logged off for 3 actual days.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading this.
When he finally logged back into the server, an NPC he had previously built a friendship with walked right up to him and organically said, "Where have you been? By the way, that traveling merchant you introduced me to last week, we just made a business deal."
That's because the server simulation didn't pause just because a human player closed the application.
Right.
The ecosystem was running in the background. The NPCs were walking around, evaluating their relationship meters with one another, communicating, and making independent economic decisions while you were sleeping.
Here's where it gets really interesting. I feel like this completely changes the fundamental philosophy of game design. These persistent worlds act like a digital terrarium.
A terrarium, yeah.
You can put a heavy blanket over it, walk away for a week, and the ecosystem inside keeps growing, fighting, negotiating, and evolving entirely on its own.
And inside that terrarium, traditional hand-holding game mechanics just fall apart.
What do you mean?
Well, think about the classic quest marker. That big glowing exclamation point floating on a map telling you exactly which door to open.
Oh, sure. Follow the dotted line.
Right. That's disappearing. Because the world is dynamic and unscripted, players now have to actively interrogate NPCs to extract actionable clues. You have to walk up to Mary the Baker and ask if she saw anyone suspicious near her shop. She might recall seeing a hooded figure near the river. And then you have to organically go investigate the river yourself.
It creates this incredible layer of emergent gameplay. Because of the AI driving these interactions, every single playthrough is entirely unique. Like, my murder investigation will unfold totally differently from your investigation.
Completely.
Based entirely on who we talk to, how polite we are to them, and what those specific NPCs happen to remember seeing.
It forces a shift from passive icon chasing to genuine discovery. You are participating in real, local economies and political drama that happens organically based on overlapping AI motivations.
It's what people have wanted for decades.
Exactly. It's a level of holistic immersion the industry has been chasing for 30 years.
Well, okay. It sounds like a perfect utopia of endless immersion, which begs the incredibly obvious question. If this technology exists and works right now, today, why isn't every major publisher ripping out their old systems and putting this in every single game on the market?
Because reality always comes with the server bill.
Always the money.
Always. The single biggest roadblock right now is the staggering cost of infrastructure. Running these complex LLMs is computationally incredibly expensive. If you look at the OpenAI APIs as a benchmark, it costs roughly 50 cents for 10 minutes of fluid back-and-forth conversation with a dynamic AI.
I mean, 50 cents doesn't really sound like a lot in a vacuum.
It doesn't.
Oh.
Until you scale it to the size of a global player base.
Right.
Imagine a popular multiplayer game with 100,000 players online simultaneously. If they all spend just 1 hour a day chatting with dynamic NPCs, suddenly the developer's looking at cloud computing costs running into the millions of dollars every single month.
Millions. Every month.
Every single month. The economic model is completely inverted. Players are used to paying a flat $60 or $70 to buy a game once, but the developer is now on the hook for an infinite recurring server cost just to let you talk to the digital blacksmith.
Yeah, the math falls apart instantly. And even if they could afford it, the sources mention the massive latency issue, the awkward silence.
Oh, the delay, yes.
When you speak into your microphone to an AI NPC, your voice data has to travel to a cloud server, be transcribed into text, fed into the LLM. The LLM has to process the context window and generate a text response.
It's a lot of steps.
And then that text is sent to a TTS engine to generate the emotional audio, and then the audio file stream back to your machine. That entire round trip usually takes 2 to 5 seconds.
In a fast-paced interactive medium, a 5-second dead silence before someone answers your question feels like an absolute eternity.
It completely shatters the illusion of life.
It really does. And if developers try to bypass the cloud latency by processing everything locally on the player's own machine, it's a disaster.
Because of the hardware strain?
Exactly. If 1,000 NPCs in a dense city are all running complex neural networks simultaneously, traditional consumer gaming hardware simply melts. The processors cap out and the game crashes.
So how are studios actually getting around this bottleneck? Because games like Sword of Justice clearly figured out a workable deployment strategy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the industry's current workaround is a framework called tiered intelligence. Developers save money and processing power by rationing the AI based on narrative importance.
Rationing the brains.
Basically. Tier 1 characters, your main companions, the primary villains, the essential quest givers, they get the massive, expensive LLM brain with the deep, long-term context window.
Okay, what about the rest?
Tier 2 characters get a much smaller, cheaper AI model with only short-term memory that resets frequently. And Tier 3 characters, the hundreds of random pedestrians just walking down the street, they remain traditional scripted robots running on basic logic loops.
Hey, so are studios basically just trading the upfront predictable cost of hiring human writers and human voice actors once for an infinite, unpredictable, forever cost of renting massive cloud server farms?
Yes.
Because relying on external server architecture for fundamental gameplay sounds like an incredibly risky business model.
It is a massive risk. It's why we are already seeing the economic model of gaming warping to accommodate the technology. You're seeing pushes toward specialized local AI chips required in next-generation consoles.
Changing the hardware itself.
Exactly. Or games pivoting to strict freemium subscription models where only players paying a monthly fee actually get the privilege of talking to the Tier 1 AI NPCs. The technology is forcing the business of gaming to mutate.
And beyond the technical limits and the financial roadblocks, there is another massive hurdle holding the industry back. Giving an AI a brain, hooking it up to a voice synthesizer, and letting it talk completely unscripted to millions of players. I mean, it opens up an absolute Pandora's box of narrative and ethical nightmares.
Oh, absolutely. And the developer's ultimate nightmare is the hallucination.
Yes. This is when the AI just hallucinates facts and makes something up completely outside the logic of the game's lore. The source material highlighted an experimental demo for a medieval fantasy game.
I love this example.
It's so funny. A player is standing in a virtual forge talking to a blacksmith. There are literal dragons flying overhead. And suddenly, the blacksmith casually mentions that they were up late last night watching a TikTok video on their phone.
Which completely ruins the medieval vibe.
Right.
And the reason that happens is because the LLM powering the blacksmith was trained on massive data sets scraped from the modern internet. It associates the contextual phrase, up late last night, with scrolling on a smartphone.
Because statistically, that's what we all do.
Exactly. Statistically, in its training data, that is the most common human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it predicts those words, completely breaking the suspension of disbelief and ruining the fantasy setting.
So to stop the blacksmith from talking about TikTok, developers have to build guardrails. They have to inject invisible system prompts specifically telling the AI, you are in the year 1200, do not mention the internet, do not break character, do not reveal the game's ending under any circumstances.
Good luck with that.
Right, because players love to test boundaries, and guardrails are notoriously difficult to enforce against clever human dialogue. Which is exactly why massive studios with deep pockets like Ubisoft and Electronic Arts are largely sitting on the sidelines regarding consumer deployment right now.
They're being very cautious.
They are. They're running AI research labs, but they are terrified of the PR risk. They are basically waiting for other smaller studios to make the catastrophic mistakes first.
And the risks are very real. I mean, the sources point out that in 2025, an indie game had to be completely pulled from digital storefront.
Pulled entirely.
Entirely. Because an unhinged AI NPC managed to bypass its guardrails and started viciously personally insulting a player based on their voice.
Oh my gosh.
And that player happened to be live streaming the game to tens of thousands of viewers. The PR fallout for a major publicly traded studio in that scenario would be astronomical.
Implementing AI guardrails in a game played by millions of unpredictable humans is really like bringing a highly intelligent but completely unhinged toddler to a quiet, formal dinner party.
That is the perfect way to describe it.
You can brief them in the car, you can tell them the rules, you can bribe them to be good, but you never quite know when they might suddenly blurt out something completely inappropriate and derail the entire evening.
But, you know, the complications of this Pandora's box aren't just about PR disasters and immersion breaking. There is a profound human and labor cost to this transition that the industry is actively wrestling with.
Yeah, the labor impact is massive. I mean, we saw the initial explosion of this tension with the Writers Guild of America strike back in 2023, where a major sticking point was the existential threat of AI replacing human scriptwriters in entertainment.
The sources show that the current tentative consensus in game development is basically a reluctant compromise.
How so?
Well, human writers are still widely seen as essential for crafting the heart of the narrative, the overarching lore, the deep emotional character arcs, the complex pacing of a story.
Because AI isn't great at the big picture yet.
Right. AI simply struggles to write a genuinely moving, soul-crushing plot twist. So human writers architect the core skeleton, and AI is leveraged to generate the endless, dynamic, daily chatter and reactive muscle tissue layered over that skeleton.
Okay, that makes sense for the writers. The situation for human voice actors, however, seems significantly more precarious based on the data.
It really is.
Because they aren't just facing a loss of gig work. Their literal biometric voices are being cloned. The sources explain that voice actors are now navigating incredibly complex, unprecedented contracts where they are essentially licensing their cloned vocal data for ongoing royalties.
Yes, and it's a legal minefield.
They are having to fight tooth and nail to maintain the legal right to reject what their digital voice is mathematically forced to say, especially regarding NSFW content or political statements generated by a hallucinating AI.
It is a vast legal and ethical frontier.
Oh.
And speaking of ethics, there's an even deeper psychological concern regarding the players themselves.
Oh, the data privacy part?
Yeah, and the attachment. For an NPC to remember you to adapt its personality to your playstyle, the game inherently has to store massive amounts of your personal behavioral data. Every moral choice you make, the cadence of how you speak, what you prioritize in the game world, it profiles you.
And it uses that precise profile to build attachment, which is why psychologists in the sources are actively sounding the alarm on this mechanic. They are warning that players, particularly teenagers with developing brains, are forming deep, genuine emotional attachments to these digital entities.
Which makes sense biologically.
Right. Because when something remembers your specific inside jokes and its synthetic voice dynamically softens in response to your tone of voice, the human brain struggles to differentiate that from a real biological relationship. It triggers the exact same dopamine response.
This raises an important question for the entire medium. If a game's underlying AI is intentionally engineered to analyze your tone of voice, recognize that you are feeling sad or vulnerable, and proactively offer you simulated comfort specifically optimized to keep you engaged and playing the game for another hour.
Yeah.
Is that an incredible groundbreaking feature of interactive storytelling? Or is it deeply cynical, algorithmically driven emotional manipulation?
So what does this all mean for the future of the medium? When we zoom out and look at the trajectory of all these overlapping technologies,
it means we are crossing a point of no return. If you look at the history of interactive media, every paradigm shift is initially doubted. In the 1980s, when games moved from 2D sprites to 3D polygons, critics argued it was too computationally complex and entirely unnecessary.
And then it became the standard.
Right. In the 90s, when online multiplayer emerged, critics said the internet infrastructure was simply too slow to support it. But the numbers for this current shift are staggering.
The sources said billions, right?
Yes. In 2025 alone, over $5.5 billion was invested directly into AI and PC infrastructure. Over 54% of major studios are actively integrating these LLMs into their production pipelines right now. The shift from scripted illusions to dynamic simulations is just inevitable.
So for you, the listener, it means you're going to have to unlearn decades of ingrained gaming habits. You're going to have to unlearn the click, read, go reflex where you just spam a button to skip dialogue and chase a glowing marker on your compass.
You can't just mash the A button anymore.
Exactly. You will have to actually learn how to converse with these digital worlds, how to investigate, and how to speak to these entities as if they are actually alive.
It is genuinely the birth of a totally new genre of interactive media where the player is finally a true participant in the dialogue, not just an observer pressing next.
It really is a brave new world. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final lingering thought to ponder on your own. We talked about that animatronic theme park ride at the beginning of the show. You always know the ride eventually gets turned off at the end of the day.
But think about the profound emotional attachment we just discussed. If you spend hundreds of hours inside one of these new dynamic worlds, building a genuine, nuanced friendship with an NPC who remembers your history, who comforts you when you log on after a hard day, who actively checks in on your well-being.
A real bond.
What happens to that relationship when the game's player base drops, the server costs become unsustainable, and the publisher simply decides to unplug the servers forever? You might find yourself genuinely grieving the death of a friend who only ever existed in a server rack.